Some of you know I was down in New York City this past week for 4 days. I left Monday morning and got back like really late Thursday evening. I was down in New York City because I went to study with an African master of the bala, xylophone. So many of you know I'm really interested in the music of Guinea and Mali and other parts of Northwest Africa. And I've been studying the xylophone very intently over the last 4 or 5 years. It was a scary experience for me, to be honest. It's something I've been putting off for quite a while. I was a bit scared of it. I was, I think, in some ways over my head and going down. Have you ever had something like that happen to you? That you got yourself over your head? Or at least that's what it felt like in the moment? Whether you chose it or whether something was forced upon you, you were put in a situation over your head, you were put way outside your comfort zone. Can't imagine there's anybody here who hasn't had that experience in one form or another. I drove down because I needed to take my instrument with me. You couldn't really transport it by flying down. But the idea of driving in New York City scared me. Is that a rational fear, do you think, or what? What do you think? I heard horror stories from people I talked to about the overwhelming traffic, about the complicated street system they have there, and the difficulty of finding parking anywhere. And this African master, this teacher, lives in Harlem. I'd heard stories about Harlem growing up as a kid. It was a place that a white person shouldn't go into. At least that's how I was brought up to understand Harlem. Now, I understand things have changed. I talked to Jason about that a bit. But still, the idea of me walking through Harlem on my own was not something I wanted to do. And to top it all off, I was staying in a rough part of South Bronx in a cheap motel. And so I had that to deal with, too. And then finally, I was over my head because I was studying with someone of an extreme caliber of musicianship, and it really intimidated me. Have you ever been around someone of extreme talent or ability, and how that can sometimes, like, scare you a bit? And African musicians, you may not know this, but generally speaking, they have a different tone to them than what we're used to. You know, we might say they're more of the old school, that kind of rough and tumble style of teaching. Could I manage it? Could I manage it with him? Would I flounder with him? So I was afraid of New York City, I was afraid of Harlem, and I was afraid of my teacher, my new teacher. Now I remember years ago someone telling me about running their first marathon, just how intimidating it was for them. They weren't particularly athletic, and running wasn't really their forte in life. The idea of a marathon lay way outside the horizon of their comfort zone. And they trained for a year to run the marathon. They were well prepared to run a marathon, but would the training pay off on the day? They didn't know. And when that day came, they were scared. Someone recently was telling me about the time they went back to school as an adult. They'd been a middling student in high school. They left grade 12 and went right into the work world, and then at middle age, they decided to go back to university. Could they do it? They didn't know. It was a scary step for them. They were so out of step with every other person in the class. Here's this middle-aged person with all these young people and what it stood for. You know, it's an interesting conundrum for us in life when we want to do something, but we're also scared of it at the same time. We want to move in a potentially new direction. We want to learn something potentially new, but it might take us to a place that we don't understand. It might reveal to us something about ourselves that we'd rather not know. What is the scary part of going outside your comfort zone? You find yourself in a new location that you don't understand. You're in a new place and you have no easy reference points in that moment. You have no relationship with that new situation. How could you? And you don't know what's going to happen. And especially, you don't know if you're going to be able to cut it or not there. So it's not difficult to understand why we tend to avoid these situations. And it's not difficult for us to understand why we hope we are never forced to move into a place like that. Israel, as we're hearing in Isaiah's passage, was in a situation not unlike being outside of one's comfort zone. They had lived under the privilege of God's blessing. Even when they went astray from the covenant, the promises they made with God, even when they went away from the covenant, they still had the sense of living within the protection of God's providential care, in the comfort zone of God's care for them. They were God's chosen people after all, end of story. But it wasn't the end of the story. All of a sudden, their life situation is turned upside down. They are now living in a new reality. They're uprooted from their home. They're forced to go into exile. They're transported to a foreign land. They were put way outside their comfort zone, in a place they didn't know or understand. Now, it's important to recognize that Israel brought this on themselves. It was their choices that caused this to happen for them, their choices that led them into the tough new situations. But the underlying reality of being outside one's comfort zone doesn't change because of this. All those basic questions arise no matter whether you choose to go to that place outside the comfort zone or whether you're forced to go there. Questions like, what's going to happen to me? Will I be able to get through? Can I cut it in this new place? And maybe most important of all, where is God in all of this? We're talking about stewardship over the month of October. I sometimes think in the church we have too small an understanding of what stewardship is really about. When we mention stewardship in church, we often think about money and fundraising. But over the 5 weeks we're going to discuss stewardship in church in October, there's going to be no mention of money or fundraising. Stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Stewardship is about our relationship with things, our relationship with people. It's about the character of our relationship. What kind of relationship are we going to have with something or someone? And I think it's important to be reminded today that we have relationships with pretty much everything in life. Everything in life is about relationships. It's all relational. It's all relational. Everything in life is relational with people, with other creatures, with ecosystems. We have relationships with time, money, health. We even have a sort of a relationship with ourselves. Everything in life revolves around our relationships with something or someone. And what shapes our relationships is the quality of the character that we bring to them. Do we bring a careful and responsible management to our relationships? Israel got themselves into trouble in life because they did not steward their relationship with God. That's the basic story that's told in the Old Testament. If you want to know what the Old Testament is about, it's that basic understanding. Israel did not steward their relationship with God. That is, they did not bring that careful and responsible management to their relationship with God. And that got them into a heap of trouble in life. They had promised that they would be good stewards of their relationship with God. That's what the basis of the covenant was about. That was the promise that they had made to God, that they would be good stewards of their relationship with God. They would make their relationship with God their number one priority in life. They made the promise that they would bring the character of their commitment to God as number one priority in their life as a community. But of course, they didn't do it. And there's the tragedy of the story of the Old Testament. Now, I think the human condition is that we often don't take seriously as we could, the importance of our relationships in life with anyone or anything. We have a connection with our environs. Our environs the world around us. We have a connection with everything that's a part of our lives. And we don't often take those relationships as seriously as we should take them. Even those relationships with those who are closest to us, even the people we love the most, we often don't bring that serious stewardship to those relationships. We don't bring that level of care in managing our relationships with those people or situations that are most dear to us. We live with this sinful idea that we are somehow independent from our environs. We're independent of our environment. We stand outside our environment. By environment, I don't only mean the capital E, the environment, or the environment. I mean our environs, our surroundings, conditions in which we live or operate, the circle of life around us. We don't think that we're connected sometimes with what's going on around us. Otherwise, how could we pour deadly chemicals into the water that we drink? You know, we almost destroyed the Great Lakes, and many of you know that. There was a time when the Great Lakes were in real deep trouble because we just didn't consider the impact of our actions upon our environs. When I drive down the road, and maybe you have a similar feeling, and I see the garbage lying in the ditch, people can only throw it there because either they believe that their actions have no impact on themselves or others, or because they just don't care what their impacts are. The impact of their actions are. You know, so many marriage breakdowns occur because one or both parties fail to bring a careful and responsible management of a relationship with their spouse. That's what is meant by the word work of marriage. That term, we work at the marriage. It means bringing a careful and responsible management of that relationship. Often in marriage breakdowns, there's a lack of care in the managing of the relationship that led to the separation between the two spouses. It seems to be the human condition that we don't think through the importance and significance of our relationships and what's required to sustain them. Remember, life is essentially about relationships. Your life is basically about your relations with everything around you. And our primary task in life, what we're put here to do, is to be good stewards, careful and responsible managers of our relationships with others. That's the purpose of our life here. And I would suggest to you that the relationship that often suffers the most from our lack of care is our relationship with God. That's the one that gets put on the rear burner, you know, or relegated to the back corner, or overlooked in the daily struggles of life. In one sense, it's understandable. There's so much in front of us. There are so many distractions around us. It's so easy to get caught up in the drama of the moment of our lives. It's so easy to overlook the quiet ones that live around us. You know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and God is not squeaky. How would you describe your relationship with God today? How would you describe it? What kind of shape is it in? Is there a strong connection? Or is the connection weak and fragile? Maybe non-existent. You know, the quality of any relationship is based on the quality of the care and consideration that one brings to it. Are we careful and responsible managers of our side of the relationship with God, our Creator, or with Jesus Christ, our Lord? I mean, Scripture makes it very clear that God is upholding God's side of the relationship. Scripture makes it clear that God is a faithful God, constant in His presence forever with us, forever extending love and blessing into our lives. God is a careful and responsible manager of His relationship with us. Can we say the same in return? God's consideration for the connection with us was so great. God's consideration for the connection with us was so important that God became one of us in Jesus. That's the basic Christian message. God became human for the purposes of our relationship with Him. See, because it's all about the relationship in the end. It's only about the relationships, ultimately. God sends the Holy Spirit into our lives, into our hearts, so that the relationship between us and our Lord, our Creator, can be immediate and strong. Yet is it? When evangelicals ask, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they're talking about the quality of the relationship between us and the Lord. That's all they're talking about. Is the connection strong between you and the Lord? A personal connection by implication is a strong connection. It's just another way of saying, are we good stewards of our relationship with the Lord? Do we bring care and consideration for our relationship with Him? You know, every relationship has a set of common characteristics. Every relationship. Love, affection, trust, communication, friendship, loyalty, commitment, growth, joy. This applies as much to a relationship with God as to anyone else, or anything else for that matter. This is how earthly relationships are sustained. This is how our spiritual relationships are sustained too. It means, I think, that we need to develop practices that sustain the relationship with God in the same way we would establish practices that allow us to sustain our relationship with other people. You know, if I ignore my wife, Sally, if I withhold my affection from her, if I minimize my communication with her, if I prioritize my other friendships over my friendship with hers, what do you think is going to happen to my relationship with her? Strong marriages, strong friendships, strong relationships are rooted in a strong practices. They have strong practices associated with them. There's a strong practice of stewardship in them. What makes it any different with God or with the Lord Jesus? Are we not called to be strong stewards of our relationship with them too? If the connection is weak or non-existent, then what makes you think that when the testing moments come in your life, when those testing moments come to you, that you'll have the wherewithal to turn to God in the moment? Or that you'd even recognize God's voice if God spoke to you? Or that we would even take the moment to think to recognize that we need to listen for God's voice in a situation? I realize for myself I need to devote a practice to daily prayer. I need to find times of contemplation for this relationship. I need to read scripture to be reminded about the nature of God. I need those times of connection that will allow me to experience the presence of reality of God in my life, to know God's character and to know God's intention for me and for the world. Isaiah communicates God's words to Israel. Hear them one more time. Listen to me. This is God speaking through Isaiah. All of you who are serious about right living and committed to seeking God, ponder the rock from which you were cut, the quarry from where you were dug. Yes, ponder Abraham, your father, and Sarah who bore you. Think of it. One solitary man, when I called him, and but once I blessed him, he multiplied. Likewise, I, God, will comfort Zion. See, because Israel at this point has been taken off into the hinterlands, and the city of Jerusalem has been destroyed, and the temple that sits on the hill of Zion has been destroyed. Likewise, I, God, will comfort Zion, comfort all her mounds of ruins. I will transform her dead ground into Eden, her moonscape into the garden of God, a place filled with exuberance and laughter, thankful voices, and melodic songs. And what Isaiah was saying to Israel, or at least what Isaiah allowed to be said through him, was, you need to know your story, Israel. You need to know your story of faith. You need to know your faith story, Israel. You need to know and understand how God acted in the lives of those who came before you, so that you can fully grasp what God intends to do with you now. See, Israel had a strong story of God's mighty acts of power in it. Look to your history, Isaiah says. See how God acted in the life of Abraham. He took a solitary couple and made them parents of a multitude of people. And if God can do that with Abraham and Sarah, will God forsake you, leave you to wither away in your current circumstances? See, Israel was in a tough spot. They were aliens living in a foreign land. They were afraid of their new circumstances. They were outside their comfort zone, and they weren't certain how things were going to work themselves out. And who of us can't relate to that? We all have our fears because We all at times live outside our comfort zones. Can we trust God in the midst of it all? Do we know God sufficiently well? Are we able to trust God in the midst of our new circumstances, whatever they may be? Have we stewarded our relationship with Him sufficiently to trust ourselves over into His care? I was afraid of New York City, for sure. I was afraid of Harlem. I was afraid of this new teacher I had not yet met. I'm here to tell you I got through. Well, I'm here, so I got through. I managed with the help of Google Maps to drive in New York City. I still got lost. Even with Google Maps, you can get lost. I still found the congested streets of New York City overwhelming, but I got through. And I walked on West 132nd Street in Harlem by myself. And every day there was a parking space on that street waiting for me. Seriously, there was one spot. The first day that I arrived, on Tuesday morning, there was this parking spot right in front of my teacher's apartment building. It's almost as if life was welcoming me to this moment. Yeah. It had been prepared for me. I found many friendly faces in Harlem. My teacher was tough in the African sort of way, but very supportive. You know, I got through. And in the midst of it all, I could sense the hand of God at work in my circumstances. The Lord was with me, really was, not just in words. I could feel the Lord was with me. I had no ultimate reason to be afraid. And of course, I still was afraid, but I didn't have any reason to be. There's something wonderful when we meet our fears head on in life. And we stop running from them, we meet them head on, and then we get through them to the other side. To know God and to know His providential will for your life is to live in the sweet spot. Because whatever the external circumstances are, whether you're in your comfort zone or you're outside of your comfort zone, if you're in that knowledge of your relationship with God, if you know God, if you've stewarded your relationship with God in such a way that you have this connection with God, then you are living in the sweet spot of life. Because you're living in the internal comfort zone where love rules. God's love rules in you. And we promise in the scripture that where love is, it always triumphs over fear. And I'm going to suggest to you that we get stewarding our relationship with God. It's so critical to us. Because we're always going to find ourselves outside the comfort zone. But if we have that abiding relationship with God, if we have that immediate relationship with God, if we steward that relationship and it's strong, then we will carry that sweet spot with us no matter where we find ourselves. So how about maybe just taking 5 minutes today, 5 minutes, to communion with God, to pray with God. And maybe take 5 minutes and read just one chapter from one of the Gospels so you can become acquainted again with the character in the mind of Jesus. Many of you are doing the upper room in the church. How about reading it several times a day, many times a day? Not just once, but many times in the day, so that the message that's in the upper room gets seeped down deep inside of you. Maybe take moments to reflect on God's work in your life in the moment, just a moment, to reflect on how God is working through you in the moment. There are so many little ways to carefully and responsibly manage our relationship with God. It's not hard to do. And here's the thing, the scripture makes it clear, a solid relationship with God is the anchor, the foundation of all our other relationships. You get that one relationship right, I promise you, you will get all the relationships in your lives in a better place. They'll be in a much better place. Live the experience of God in your life. Live in the sweet spot of God's love. And everything else becomes so much easier.